Well, welcome back. It's the Blitz Podcast. Jamie and Britton with you from the Green Zone as we now get you ready for week six of CFL action. Yes, we did take the week off. Britton and I were gallivanting all around Saskatchewan during last week's bye week, as we usually do. So we didn't get caught up too much, Britton, on the BC Lions game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We'll get to the questions right away here, but 37-18, the Riders are 4-0, their most dominant win, and we were waiting for a game like that, that they'd take over, that they'd finish. AJ led over 100 yards, a bunch of turnovers caused by the defense. Jake, and this was a game there Trevor Harris didn't even play because of a concussion.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, this was the game we wanted to see. When you're against a backup quarterback, it's a game that you should win handily, and they finally won it handily by more than double digits. Like to see that from this Riders team. And then Jake Mayer, still got my criticisms, but he never threw that backbreaking pick. He never made the mistake like Jeremiah Mazzoli did. Managed the game. They didn't ask him to do too much because the run and attack was really good for the Riders. But ultimately, this team showed it doesn't need a great quarterback performance to win, which, unfortunately for some other teams like the BC Lions, they do need great quarterback performances to win.
Yeah, this defense, this special teams group, they are solid to go out and, you know, actually put points on the board, set up the team in good field goal range, and the offense don't turn over the ball. And when the offense plays as well as an AJ Ouellette plays as well, you're going to get a 37-18 blowout at home. And that score probably flatters a little bit of the BC Lions, because that game was really 34-10 until late in the game, right? That was an over 20-point victory going for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And a huge interception from Tavon Campbell at the end of the first half really started to blow the gates open, because BC was, they were threatening to take the lead into the half, one field goal, and that's a 10-9 game. Instead, Tavon Campbell takes it to the house the other way and totally flips things, and then the Riders took over in the third quarter. So this is a 4-0 football team for a reason. They are a solid group, are the Riders, from start to finish. We will get into what is ahead, which is, I think, safe to say, their biggest test against the Calgary Stampeders. But, of course, we do want to get to the questions, and we've got a few of them from the fans here for the Blitz Podcast. Thanks for sending those at GreenZoneSK or my or Britton's socials at Jamie and I at Britton Gray. As we get to Matt's question, what our starting offensive line looks like right now and how the ratio is looking. Matt, that is the question of the week. For the Rough Riders, because of the Trevion Tate injury. He's in a sling. Shoulder is what they're saying is the injury. So without Trevion Tate, what do you do? Well, starting off with Zach Fry is going to get the spot at guard. So the Rough Riders will have three Canadians on the left side. Is where you're going to go with Daniel Johnson, Zach Fry, and then Logan Ferdlin in the middle. And then, of course, Brammer and Hardrick holding down the right side of that offensive line, Britton.
Yeah, that's how they're going with it. Noah Zaire will be brought up as the sixth offensive lineman. And listen, we look back at last season, all the different offensive linemen they had to use. Well, now you have guys with a bunch of game experience who you can lean on now. Noah Zaire started quite a few games for this club last season and at times didn't look out of place. That offensive line kept kind of rolling. They bring back Nick Jones, who they released at training camp, but he's another guy who has some CFL experience. They bring him in. And I'm excited to see. We've all been high on Zach Fry. When they first drafted him, Jeremy O'Day said he had the best footwork of any offensive line in the draft. The toughest thing to teach offensive linemen is that footwork. They really like him. Glad to see he's been getting this opportunity, because he's a guy who's had to kind of wait a little bit, wait for this chance. Now let's see what he can do when given it.
Yeah, that's how that offensive line is going to look right now. And, you know, shout out to Daniel Johnson. You know, there are some times when he does get beat, but it's not like he's getting beat consistently. Like, it wasn't like Jake Mayer was getting smoked every snap last week. So, and that's a credit to the left tackle in Daniel Johnson. They're bringing some help over on his side when they read blitz and everything else. So, he's playing very well at the left tackle spot. So we'll see what Zach Fry does at the left guard spot. But this offensive line, as we've been saying, Britton, until they show us that we should be concerned, my default is not concerned with the Riders' offensive line.
I did a couple podcasts ahead of the season, people asking about the Riders, and of course everyone was, well, the Riders' offensive line, already injuries, Sean McEwen, Philip Gagnon is out, and I said it, until we see this offensive line play bad, you have to trust it, because Edwin Harrison is just doing such a great job getting these guys ready. Mark Mueller, credit to him and the system that they're running, and maybe not allowing the offensive lineman to be left on an island at times. Trevor Harris is very good at getting the ball out quickly. A lot of things work to help this offensive line as they deal with some of these growing pains, with some of these guys getting their first few games in the CFL. They've done a really good job, and that's why I said, listen, I get people who aren't from Saskatchewan or follow the team, why they're worried about the offensive line. For us who cover it every day, it was, well, they did it last year. We have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they could do it again.
Yeah, so it does make things interesting on the ratio a little bit, because that when you ask about the ratio, you have to go to the defensive side, and a groin injury for Tavon Campbell means a Canadian starter is down. But this Rider team has been playing extra Canadians. They've had, you know, three starters on defense, and really what we saw was five on offense at times. Now, because of the receiving core, that's diminished. But this week, Tavon Campbell's out as a Canadian starter. Zach Fry is replacing an American starter. Your ratio's fine. You don't have to juggle. So you can go American at Tavon Campbell's spot. That's where it looks like Antoine Brooks Jr. will play. Got an interception, of course, last time out against the BC Lions. He's been making plays all through training camp. We know that. He's one of Corey. You can tell he's one of Corey Mace's favorite people, is Antoine Brooks. And you'll profile him on the pregame show on Friday night, I know, as well. So that's an easy switch when it comes to the ratio, with Tavon Campbell down and Trevion Tate down. Canadian O-line goes in, American DB goes in. You still have your seven Canadian starters.
I think they're still at eight. I'd have to do the math here. Three offensive linemen, the two on defense. I think Mitch Pickton, Dale Duncan Busby. Yeah, they're still seven. I guess still at seven, but boy, they
can the two roll Canadian out receivers. Yeah. When Kean Schaefer-Baker and Sam Emilis come back, my goodness, they'll have flexibility all over the place with that ratio. All right, Matt, thanks for the question. That's how the offensive line looks and the ratio. Clay wants to know the status of C.J. Avery. He was my pick as the breakout player of the season for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and he got the nice hex on him, apparently, because it sounds like he'll be out for a while, Britton.
Yeah, a torn bicep. I'm pretty sure he underwent surgery. That feels like it's a season ender, unfortunately. And he looked really good in the limited time we got to see him again this season. Very unfortunate. It has allowed A.J. Allen to go in, be another Canadian starter. And he's another guy who's been looking really good this season. He looked great to end last season, looking like as he gets more game experience, he's feeling more comfortable in there. And they really haven't missed a beat. Once again, well, that's kind of the theme of the Riders this year. Yeah, there's injuries, but when they've brought someone in, it hasn't felt like there's been an injury. It's felt like everyone's managed to step up to at least the level they've needed to.
Yeah, you don't notice. You do not notice. And that's the credit to the depth that they have. Mm-hmm. And the credit to the preparation. Like, we see it at practice. Like, all of a sudden you have Noah Zaire playing with the starters. And you're like, wait, is Jacob Brammer down? What's going on? And then, oh, no, Jacob Brammer's back in the next rep. They are getting their guys ready to play in any situation. And that's a credit to what Corey Mason. I think he learned a little bit that from the guy they're going up against in Dave Dickinson from the Calgary Stampeders, because there were another group, that offensive line in Calgary, they had several injuries when Corey Mason, these guys were there, and they didn't miss a beat on the offensive line to protect Bo Levi Mitchell and, you know, open up holes for guys like Kadeem Carey. So that's all the preparation they have. And AJ Allen has been just that. He's grown. He was on special teams. Actually, I think he beat out Roland Milligan at the end of last year for most special teams tackles right at the end of the year. And then all of a sudden there's an opening on defense and he's showed the ability, and AJ Allen's now starting and playing well. But unfortunately they're, of course, Corey Mace never likes saying season ender. He's a former player. All players believe they can rehab quickly and get back in. So best case scenario is we see CJ Avery again near the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question. Do you think Kadeem Carey will crack the lineup anytime soon? From Bertrand. This week. That's how soon. It's against the Calgary Stampeders. It looks like Britton, he's going to play.
Yeah, with Thomas Bertrand Houdon going out, you do need to bring in a backup running back. And Kadeem Carey's the only one left, unless they give Andrew Harris some pads again, because they of course, released Mario Anderson there. Kadeem Carey, this team has a certain way that they're built. Every team has a way they like to roll out their roster. This team, for the most part, liked having the American AJ Ouellette, then the Canadian Thomas Bertrand Houdon, because Bertrand Houdon does a lot on special teams. He's a very good special teamer for this club, so you don't want to get rid of that. Unfortunately, due to the injury, you're going to bring in Kadeem Carey, which isn't unfortunate. Kadeem Carey's a great running back. It's just that two-headed monster they could have back there. Excited to see what Mark Mueller can kind of cook up with having both those guys there. But you do miss Thomas Bertrand Houdon on special teams. Kadeem Carey doesn't play a lot of it, so you have to kind of juggle that around. But yes, he will be in the lineup this week based on everything I've seen at practice. And like I said, he's the only other running back on the roster, and they need to have a backup running back.
Yeah, and then you go back to Matt's question about the ratio. Well, wait. You're replacing an American with a Canadian for an American, and Bertrand Houdon and Kadeem Carey. Well, let's follow the bouncing ball here. So Tavon Campbell comes out. Malik Straker will replace him on defense because Malik Straker missed the last game, but he will be back. So that's the defensive side of the ratio. On the offensive side of the ratio, Kadeem Carey will come on for Trevon Tate. Noah Zaire comes on for Thomas Bertrand Houdon. Just that easy for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to fill the gaps there. But I can't wait to see Kadeem Carey. He wanted to play against the Toronto Argonauts. He wasn't able to go up against the Toronto Argonauts. So here you go. It's another former team of Kadeem Carey. It's the Calgary Stampeders. And a little extra motivation there, I'm sure, as it always is when you take on your former team. There's a lot of former Stampeders going up against Calgary this week. So I can't wait to see Kadeem Carey when he spells off AJ Ouellette. They won't miss a beat at all.
I believe this is the first time Kadeem Carey has faced the Stamps since he roasted them after the Grey Cup, right? Where he called out the culture and everything going wrong there.
Yeah, he let loose on why so many guys have been leaving the Calgary Stampeders. But we'll have to get into the Calgary Stampeders in just a bit, because their record would indicate they've had a quick rebuild going on in Calgary. Okay, Bertrand, this is a very important question. Do you think current Gainer needs to do some film study of the 90s, 2000s Gainer so he can refine his bits and skills? Yes, absolutely. Last game, now you're going to get me into a rant here on Gainer the Gopher. Last game, there's like, okay, here's Gainer, and they showed him riding a bike. That was it. He just was riding a bike. I'm like, what are we doing? This isn't one of his bits. Sure, he can ride a bike. He's ridden the bike around a little bit. That's not a bit. They're taking on the Lions. I remember back in the day, you'd have a stuffed line. He'd beat the living you-know-what out of it. He'd have the Go Rider Go, you know, boards going and humming at center field and those types of things. They bring him out to midfield, and the whole crowd would get into it. Bertrand, yes, Gainer the Gopher needs to do some film study from the 90s. Pick up that film. Take some notes. Make Gainer great again. Let's get going here. They're giving him a little bit more love, not as much as I thought they were going to when Craig Reynolds said there was going to be more Gainer, but I'm telling you, I was choked. I was absolutely choked that all they had him doing was riding a bike during that segment.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right, right, when you have Gainer and how popular he has been over the years. You want to see more of it. Now, I don't know. I don't know how other people have, when they've gone to other sporting events, have all mascots been taken back a little bit? I don't know. Like, it doesn't feel like mascots get as pushed as they used to with the Philly Fanatic. Everything gritty was kind of an exception, but is this where sports is heading, where the mascots get left in the background? I'm not sure.
I don't know, because, like, you go to an Oiler game, and what is that scary freaking... what is it, a coyote or whatever the heck it that thing is? Hunter. That's his name. It's frightening. but anyways, he's sliding down guardrails. He's got the drum going. Like, he's just around the whole game. You notice him. Same with Gritty. I think hockey mascots, canine a little bit for the Regina Pats. You have Slider going around. Like, I don't know. Put him in the concourse. Get him going. Like, let's go. Put him down in the north end zone. The kids will be there. They'll see Gainer the Gopher. They'll get their pictures taken. They'll do some chants and those types of things. There's so much more they can do with Gainer the Gopher.
I would like to see kind of a family fun zone, if I'm being honest, at Rider games. I saw it at the Minnesota Twins game when I was down there last season. Just a place for kids to hang out, young kids. They're not overly focused on the game, but parents can still watch it while the kids can just do activities, see the mascots and stuff.
Yeah, it's... okay.
We could be here for an hour
listening. Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of lounges in that place. A lot of lounges in that stadium, let me say. A lot of lounges. A lot of places to go drink and, you know, adult. But this league needs to go younger. This league needs to bring in families. This league needs a family fun zone. And there was a family fun zone at the old stadium back in the corner. Sections, what was it, 11 through 15 or whatever it was, way back in the day. But it's not like they really was a family fun zone. It was just cheaper tickets, right? Yeah. But I don't know. I'd like to see bump out that south end zone a little bit, but that's behind Pill Country. You don't want kids running around Pill Country. The place is a gong show sometimes, but find a place like Toronto has. It's amazing. The Toronto Blue Jays, Britain, this place on the second level and their renovations, it's outstanding. They have shuffleboard. They have like coloring stations for kids. But they have the big screens there too. So when the parents are hanging out with their kids and they're going through the foam pit and they catch the ball jumping into a foam pit thing. And it is a place where kids who don't want to sit there and, you know, wonder why the guy hang a curveball over, like, no, they don't, they want to play. They want to have some fun. They don't want to sit there for 3 hours. Right. So there are some kids like my son who will just watch the whole game and be interested in it. But yeah, here we go. We're
fixing the problems.
Got me started again. When it comes to fan experience at Mosaic Stadium, because that was important. I went to games, little yellow footballs, those types of things. The kids are chasing them around and it was something to do, and then the kids are engaged. They got a Rider jersey, and they cheer, oh, yeah, the Riders won, and they only remember 5 minutes of the game, but it doesn't matter. It was a positive experience, and they want to take their kids, et cetera, et cetera. That's what the league needs to do. Thank you very much. Welcome to my TED Talk. Okay. Let's go to what's up next for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, which is the 3-1 Calgary Stampeders coming off a huge win. They absolutely spanked the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the Stampede Bowl. But the Riders do have Trevor Harris back. Some interesting comments from Trevor Harris this week about that hit he took in Toronto in week 3 that gave him the concussion. And he says, mm-hmm. when the other team says they're going to do something and they do it, you should believe them. As we thought right away, like Belton Johnson was like, that was on purpose mm-hmm. from Jordan Williams. Now, Trevor Harris did backtrack a little bit and say he's not accusing anybody of trying to injure him on purpose. But right after the Dell Duncan Busby low hit on George, the next play, Jordan Williams pops Trevor Harris. Some Rider fans, Britton, now that they have that information, think it should have been a suspension for Jordan yeah. Williams on that hit on Trevor Harris.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, right, if it was premeditated, what was being said out there that Harris heard, if it was, there'd have to be an investigation. Absolutely, the league maybe should take a look, see if they can find some of the mic'd up stuff. We know they've had access to it in the past. I don't think they meant to hurt Trevor Harris, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were said, we're going to get lay you out one. You hurt our guy, we're going to come at your guy. I don't think anyone mm-hmm. ever intends to injure, but it happens in every sport, at baseball even. You throw at my guy, I throw at your guy. There's always that kind of the payback for it. But very interesting, as you said, I'm curious what was said out there, because unfortunately, as we found out, Trevor Harris did suffer a concussion on that play. Didn't tell anyone because he was dealing with the virus. I think he thought maybe that was what he was feeling instead of a concussion. But ultimately, he had to miss a game because of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. When you look at concussion spotters and how seriously you need to take head injuries in the Canadian Football League, but it all comes down to what the player reports. Mm-hmm. And Trevor Harris didn't say anything to anybody. He just went, okay, feeling a little bit off, but I've been sick all week. Let's just put it to that. I'm going to go through it. The bad thing is, if he would have got popped again, like, as a lot of the research shows, it's maybe not the first hit, it's the second one in quick succession that can make things even worse. And I talked about it on the Green Zone this week. This happened with Zach Collaros when he was with the Rough Riders. He came over from the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He was labeled injury prone. And then in a preseason game, Chris Jones made the dumb decision to put him behind a bunch of third string offensive linemen, and he got absolutely smoked, and he didn't report it. He didn't say he was feeling off. And it wasn't until week 2 where he got hit again. And that, it wasn't even a big hit. It was just kind of like mm-hmm. an average, you know, quarterback getting hit right when he throws type play. And it knocked him out for a while. Like, it was, and he admitted it. He has the injury prone label, and he's a tough guy, and he doesn't want to miss games. And he thought he could just, I'll just get through it. And it's a mistake. If you get hit and you feel off, you need to report it. But that's when you get into the lawsuit stuff, right?
Yeah.
When the leagues are like, well, some of our players aren't reporting that they are feeling off. So it's understandable what these guys are doing and not reporting concussion symptoms, because they know, man, I might miss 2 weeks if I have to go into concussion protocol, and I don't feel that bad. We all do it, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't feel that bad. So yeah, unfortunate, but he's back. It was only a week that he missed, and he was, it sounds like he was real close to clearing concussion protocol against BC, because he got into it apparently with the team physicians, Britton.
Yeah, he's admitted a little bit of a shouting match. Ultimately lost that battle because you concussion protocol, you do have to clear every step. Didn't do it, so an easy decision by the doctor. And I'm sure as he looks back, he says, the right call. only one brain. He has kids. He's going to be 55, 65, as he said. Got to take care of yourself.
Yeah, so Trevor Harris will be back this week for the Rough Riders against the Calgary Stampeders. Let's lean into Calgary a little bit. When I went to 13-5, every year I go kind of through the schedule and I'm like, okay, they're going to go here and they're going to win here and they're going to win here. When I got to week five after the bye week against the Calgary Stampeders, you were in the room when I did it. Calgary bye week win.
Yeah.
I'm saying win. I'm picking the Riders to win, but this is nowhere near what I thought the Calgary Stampeders would be with all their changes at 3-1 and dismantling the Winnipeg Blue Bombers last week. This is not the Calgary team I was expecting to come into Mosaic. I was thinking of a 1-3 Stampeder team, not a 3-1 team.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, we probably would have a double-digit Rider win, right? And you're no longer feeling that, especially with... Now, Calgary beating Winnipeg, you picked Calgary to beat them. I also agreed with that because they were coming off a bye, Stampede Bowl, whole bunch of stuff in their favor. But they dismantled the Bombers. And, I've made my feelings about the Bombers known. I think that was also kind of a real test for the Bombers. They failed. Now, the Riders, listen, the Stamps have their marquee win now. They've beaten what's supposed to be a very good team in the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Riders, what victory really makes you say, yeah, that was a tough team that they beat? They dismantled Ottawa, who's been getting in their own way throughout this entire season. The BC Lions, Jeremiah Mazzoli, the Argos with Nick Arbuckle, right? Like, this Riders team still feels like they're looking... The Hamilton Tire Cats, which... The Hamilton's playing really well right now, but they weren't doing that in that week. Mm-hmm. This is a game that the Riders, if they come out and win, is that first kind of win where you're like, yes, this is the best team in the West, and now they've done it against good competition.
Yeah, this is the best quarterback they're going to play so far this year, right? Drew Brown off the start, but Vernon Adams Jr. was on pace to be the most outstanding player last year. Until his injury and the whole Nathan Rourke stuff came, that BC Lions team looked like they could do some damage, and then they kind of shot themselves in the foot organizationally. And I get it; you pay Nathan Rourke that much money to come back, he becomes your guy. But Vernon Adams Jr. has refined his game over the last couple of years, as Corey May said this week. Trevor Harris, said this week, he's a great leader. He's someone who he shows that he is the guy who wants to be in front and wants to lead from the front. Some other quarterbacks who don't, like Nathan Rourke isn't really that guy. He just wants to lead by example. But Vernon Adams is the leader. He's the captain, and they're 3-1. And this is going to be the biggest test of the season in the early going here for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. In what's going to be an interesting, set of games, because they will take on Nathan Rourke. They will take on the Montreal Alouettes, in the next few weeks here. So this is an important stretch of games here for the Riders. But defensively too, right, Britton? Like this defense for the Calgary Stampeders has been okay. They don't really get after the quarterback, so I'll be interested to see if the run game it's going to be AJ Ouellette and Dedrick Mills, right? That's what we're expecting in a head-to-head battle. So, but the Stampeders defense, Derek Moncrief, I'm talking to him on Behind Enemy Lines. He's been a leader of that team to get some things going here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a completely rebuilt Calgary defense. And I think they've meshed way quicker than we would have thought, right? When you look at, like, Edmonton, they're a rebuilt defense, and they've kind of taken some weeks to figure out. This defense has been really good in Calgary right now. They have, I think Trevor Harris mentioned, they haven't given up a touchdown yet throughout the first three quarters. It's often late in the game that a team finally finds a way to get through to the end zone. So all the credit to them. And the rushing attack, as we mentioned, AJ Ouellette, Kadeem Carey, Dedrick Mills. It's going to be very interesting, kind of those little mini battles. I think this is going to be a little bit of a defensive battle because, I mean, depending on how you're feeling, the Stamps and Riders probably have the best two defenses in the league. And I will say, how the Riders let Damon Webb get away from them will forever be a mystery to me, because he has only emerged as one of the top defensive backs in the entire league.
Yeah. it's the same old story, right? You know, a guy comes to camp. Well, James Butler of the BC Lions went for over 100 yards. He was a guy who came to Rider camp, and they had Thigpen, they had, you know, William Powell. It was a battle for, Jamal Morrow won the practice roster spot, and away you go. But Damon Webb did play like some games, and then just fell out of favor, I guess.
And now, like I said, he's one of the best defensive backs in the league. Was it with Ottawa?
And I wonder, was it Craig Dickinson who would have made that final call on?
That was during Craig's years. It was him and Jeremy Clark. Remember, Jeremy Clark were kind of battling it out, and they went with Clark. I mean, sometimes the decisions work out, and sometimes they don't.
And now Craig Dickinson has Damon Webb and Derek Moncrief, another former Rider. Like, I imagine he gave a good word for those guys to Dave Dickinson for the Calgary Stampeders. But that, it's a totally rebuilt defense, rebuilt secondary, and I have to give them credit. They have gelled early this season for the Calgary Stampeders. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking at this week in this matchup. But we mentioned a little bit also, we're expecting, you know, run the ball a lot. Dedrick Mills and A.J. Ouellette are the top two running backs in the Canadian Football League. There's only two guys that are averaging over 75 yards per game. Dedrick Mills is at 77 yards per game. A.J. Ouellette is like at 85 yards per game. He's on pace for a 1,500-yard season early going as A.J. Ouellette. So I hope you like a run game, because that's what Britton and I are expecting, is both these teams trying to establish the run. Calgary to try to take the crowd out of it, and the Riders just try to wear down that Calgary defense early.
Yeah, absolutely. Trevor Harris at his best when he gets rid of the ball quick and it kind of has that clean pocket. Heavy run game can do that, can keep the defense honest so he can't rush you. That helps him out. And Vern Adams Jr., as you mentioned, his kind of growth, he doesn't have as many blow-up games as he has had in the past, right? He's cut down on those 3-4 interception games. But they can still happen. So if you have a good run game, you avoid that from happening, because you don't have to rely on him possibly putting the ball in danger, because he has to put the team on his back, essentially.
Especially against this Rider defense, you can see it happening. You know, this secondary, well, Jameer Thurman can go up and get a football and an interception, right? So Zach Caleros, that Bomber defense might have been a good test for Vernon Adams Jr. But they ran it, and they had a lot of turnovers, so a lot of pick sixes for that Stampeder defense. But let's go around the CFL. We mentioned Winnipeg losing to Calgary, their first loss of the season, but it was the inaugural Stampede Bowl. I saw way too many critics of that darn trophy presentation after the game. I was like, what are we criticizing here? They're trying to start a tradition. I've always found it weird why the Stampeders didn't get involved in Stampede Week, and they finally did it right before the kickoff of the Stampede and the parade. They had a football game on Thursday night. I hope the tradition continues. It sounds like it will. I think it's smart for the Calgary Stampeders to be involved in Stampede Week, especially right at the start of it, as kind of that first night out at Stampede can be the football game. I liked it, and I kind of enjoyed a little bit of the ridiculousness of a trophy celebration that they just started in year one with the Stampede Bowl.
Yeah, have some fun with it. I don't know why people hated it so much. It's, at the end of the day, it's a regular season win, sure, but have some fun with it. It's an event. Make people want to see the next one. I mean, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers like to run around with that Banjo Bowl trophy every time they win it, like to show it off. So let the Calgary Stampeders have their thing. And I'm just intrigued with, imagine if Winnipeg would have won that game. Was there going to be a trophy presentation? You think the Bombers, who have been to 5 Grey Cups, lost the last 3, that would be out there accepting some sort of regular season trophy?
You know, it's been a while since a commissioner handed them a trophy.
Don't have
I shouldn't
to worry
say
about
that. It's been a lot longer for the Rough Riders. I know, Bomber fans, I'll see you on Twitter. Jesus. Man, am I in their heads or what? Like, every time I say anything against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I hear about it. The Hamilton Tiger Cats, two-game win streak. And the Kenny Lawler, Bo Levi Mitchell show is something to watch. Bo is like, oh, this is why Zach Collaros has enjoyed Kenny Lawler for so long. You just throw it up and he comes down with it. Mm-hmm. He's on pace for over 2,000 yards receiving this season as Kenny Lawler. What a start. And now the Tiger Cats look like the team I was kind of hoping they'd be. Get a little more enthusiasm in the hammer.
Yeah, he also has 5 touchdowns. He's on pace for an all-time great receiver season if he stays healthy and Bo just continues to feed him, as he should. Yeah, Hamilton Tiger Cats, it seems like they've refound that form that they finished last season with. The offense is clicking a little bit more. That's turning into, especially now that Montreal has lost 2 in a row, which we'll get to. But now the East Division is a little bit more wide open than maybe we would have thought a couple of weeks ago.
Well, Montreal losing because it's McLeod Bethel-Thompson. Like, isn't that the bottom line? Like, McLeod Bethel-Thompson hasn't played great ball. Davis Alexander, they're on a bye week. Davis Alexander should be back after the bye, says Jason Moss. That guy hasn't lost yet. Like, he 7-0 as a starting quarterback in the Canadian Football League? 8-0 if you include his second-half comeback when he replaced Caleb Evans against the Riders last year. So, I think this is a quarterback issue in Montreal. I think they are still the best team. I don't, you know, I'm not hesitant. They're the team I picked out of these to go to the Grey Cup. I still think they're that strong. This is just a matter of, yeah, McLeod Bethel-Thompson isn't it anymore. And once Davis Alexander comes back, I think the Alouettes will be humming again.
Yeah, I think so too. But, I mean, the BC Lions, great comeback. Still, Nathan Rourke, the stats look good at the end of the game. But now, ultimately, I guess I should preface this. I was at a wedding, so I was kind of having to keep up with that game, with the stats and everything. Wasn't overly impressed. Put the phone down. Came back and they somehow won. Nathan Rourke at like 350 yards. Still, I need to see it. Literally need to see it, I guess. But Nathan Rourke still just wanting more based on what we know he can do.
Yeah, it's everybody's waiting for 2022 Nathan Rourke to come back, right?
Yeah.
The guy who played 10 games and was nearly the MOP. Like, where is that guy? And yeah, he went over 350 yards. Well, I think he had 400 yards of offense of himself because he's running well, too. Mm-hmm. He's like every game he's rushing for like 40 yards plus. So you see it, but you see the, like, what is his percentage right now? When
slow
it comes
starts.
To
slow starts in games as well, even against Edmonton early in this season, that first half wasn't great. And then he somehow turned it on as he started airing out the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, he's at 61% completion percentage, which is not where you want to be. Like, Vernon Adams Jr. is the second lowest among the regular starters at 64. Bo Levi Mitchell, 69. Then everybody else is in the 70s. Like, that's where you want to be. Being down at 61%, not that great. But he's protecting the ball a little bit better than last year. I think we'll get there with Nathan Rourke. Not there yet. With Nathan Rourke and the BC Lions. But the Edmonton Elks also got their first win. Congratulations to the Edmonton Elks, Trey Ford. They went up against Drew Brown and beat him as the Ottawa Redblacks are off to a slower start. But maybe starting to see, like, Ed Hervey spent his money this offseason, but they're a team that needs to start gelling, and that defense is not good in Edmonton. Like, they are a team that might have to score the 38 points every game to get wins, because until that defense starts to get it together.
Yeah, the Stampeders are proof that you can rebuild a defense very quickly. The Elks are proof that it's harder than you might think to rebuild a defense very quickly. That's where they spent a lot of money. It hasn't worked out yet. But hey, all the credit to Trey Ford here. He's been getting better and better every week. He's looking more comfortable, and he's not making those mistakes that he used to make. Not trying to force it in there. Not always relying on his legs to just get it done. So credit to him. We wanted to see him get better and evolve. He appears to be doing that.
All right, let's get to our picks for week 6 in the Canadian Football League. Only 3 games this week because of 3 teams have a bye, so no Thursday night football. We'll have to hold off playing the Rec Laws until next week, but we'll skip over the Friday night game and let's get to the Ottawa Red Blacks at the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I'm going to go with the hottest team in football right now that it looks like with that offense in Hamilton over the Ottawa Red Blacks. That Ottawa is going to be a team now. I need to see it before I start picking them again.
Yeah, I'm going with Hamilton as well. Ottawa just, they're getting in their own way with what they're doing. Something's not right there. Love Bob Dice. Love his story. Seems like a great guy, but it just seems like there's just mistakes that are just happening, holding this team back. And ultimately, that sometimes falls on the head coach. We'll have to see how they kind of go here. Drew Brown's back. I expect he'll be better this week than he was last week. But Hamilton's rolling in. I mean, someone needs to prove they can stop the Bo Levi-Kenny Lawler connection that's been growing there.
Yeah, and it, when you have Rick Campbell standing on the sidelines as the special teams coordinator in Ottawa, now that Drew Brown's back and the wins don't come, it's the reality of pro sports. Everybody loves Bob Dice, but he hasn't been able to get this team on the winning track. And again, Rick Campbell's right there. If you want to make a change, I'm not advocating for a change yet, but it's going to be, it's the storyline you have to watch in the early part of this season in Ottawa. The BC Lions will visit the Edmonton Elks. This was the game I had the most trouble with, to be quite honest. I know Nathan Rourke is back. This is a battle of the Canadian QBs. BC got him in week one, but Edmonton was right in that game, really. Until kind of into the third quarter, until BC started to pull away. I love Justin Rankin. I think this running back in Edmonton is something else, and he'll take some pressure off Trey Ford. In the last 2 weeks, Trey Ford has only had 3 carries. That's not going to last forever. Trey Ford is a weapon. And with Justin, and I think Justin Rankin running the ball as well, I believe that the Edmonton Elks will start to slowly turn a corner here. I'm going to go with the Elks winning back-to-back games at home as maybe an upset of the week against the BC Lions.
Yeah, this one's very tough. I still say I want to see more from Nathan Rourke. The Elks are kind of on the rise. I just have a little bit more faith in the BC Lions, I guess, because I do think Nathan Rourke will figure it out. That Edmonton Elks defense scares me a little bit with what they might be giving up. I'm going to lean BC here, but I don't feel good about it. I just think they'll find a way to win again, like they found a way to win against the Montreal Alouettes, against an Elks team that some good vibes, some good momentum. Need to see it more than 1 week to have some belief that this team is really turning a corner.
And the final game of the week that we're going to pick, but it's the first game of the week. It's Friday night football. The Calgary Stampeders coming off their big Stampede Bowl victory against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. If you would have told me at the start of the season what the score of this game would be, I'd probably say like 37-15. For the Riders this week, I'm closing the gap. I am going to pick the Rough Riders, but this might be a Brett Lawther field goal game, Britton. I'm going to go like 25-23 for the Rough Riders in this one.
we're pretty much on the same page on this one. We're not feeling as confident as the Riders as we thought we would be coming into this game. I still have them winning. My prediction, I've been thinking about it. I had it before you said it. 25-20 is what I think this game's going to be. 2 great defenses. They both have been tough to score on. I like the Riders' offense a little bit more in terms of what they've been able to show. It did take Vernon Adams Jr. 3 games or 4 games to throw a touchdown pass, but he's finally done it. So I am leaning Riders, but yeah, about 25-20. We're in the same range here. We both have that feeling like this could be a rushing game, a defensive game, not expecting a ton of fireworks.
Yeah. Here we go. 38-35 final. That's what it's going to be. All righty. That's it for us for this week on the Blitz podcast. Remember, keep those questions coming. and we will answer them here on the podcast. If you have any rider questions, as always, so we love being the home of the fans with the Green Zone on CJME and CKOM. At 5 o'clock is the start of the Green Zone pregame show on Friday night before the 7 o'clock game at Mosaic Stadium. And of course, Britton Gray has a profile on Antoine Brooks. You'll also have an all or nothing feature on Jermarcus Hardrick. I talked to Derek Moncrief, kind of a homecoming for Derek. He's pretty much from Saskatchewan now. That's where his in-laws are, of course, business owners in Regina. And that's where he lives in the off season. So Derek Moncrief has some Rider fans wearing red on Friday Night Football at Mosaic Stadium. And of course, a lot more coming up on our pregame show. Again, like, subscribe on YouTube with the Blitz podcast, share, tell a friend, all those good things. And we'll see you next week.